I'd like to bring the meeting to order, please. Thank you. This is the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors. I'd like to welcome you all here this evening. Would you please all join, remove your covers and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can we have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken. Let the record reflect that all members are present.
Okay, this is the time when we have public comment, and if you listen to what I have to say here, it'll explain when and what you want to talk about, okay? Now is the time for public comment on matters within the jurisdiction of the Town of Discovery Bay that are not listed on the agenda. We would ask that you fill out a comment form if you would like to address the board, and you will be called in the order cards are received. There is a time limit of 3 minutes for these comments. There is a device here on the podium with a green, yellow, and red light. The yellow light will come on 30 seconds before the end of the 3 minutes. With regard to public comment, the law strictly limits the ability of board members to discuss matters not on the agenda, so this is not the appropriate time to have a discussion with the board. We ask that you refrain from personal attacks during your comments and you address all comments to the board and not to the audience. Comments from the public do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of the board of directors. And with that, does anybody have any comments that they want to make on items not listed on the agenda? Please come to the microphone. Yes. Oh, Bill, you have something other than the pool?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I wanted to talk about item D.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't see all those listed there. Come on up.
Good evening, board. I'm Bill Helfrich. My address is 661 Beaver Court. My comments regarding issues not on the agenda are that the cost of the community center really seems to be something that you really don't want us to know about. There's no breakdown in any of the audited financial statements. It just gives you Zone 8, tells you what the revenue was, what all the expenses were. And you're unable from that to determine what the subsidy of the community center is. Without transparency, we as taxpayers and residents really can't complain or comment on something we don't know about. So I would like to see more financial disclosure. Item number two is I sent you a letter dated 11-2 to Mr. Davies, and I wanted to remind you that I'd love to see that in the correspondence section in the December 5th meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody have comments on items that are not listed on the agenda? Great. Then I will close public comment at this point and move to consent calendar.
Move to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Any comments from the public with regards to the consent calendar? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Area agency reports. Leah, I believe, is here. Come on up. From Supervisor Burgess's office. Hi.
Good evening, board members. And first off, I want to congratulate you, Kevin, and you, Bob, on your re-elections. And also, congratulations to Brian on his election to the board. So tonight, I just want to go over a few transportation updates with you guys. Hoffman Lane Bridge, County Public Works will perform bridge work on Hoffman Lane Bridge at the crossing of Kellogg Creek. From Tuesday, November 13th to Friday, November 16th from 7 a.m. to 5:30 to repair an existing bridge girder. Construction signs will be placed in advance of the construction activities at the intersection of Hoffman Lane and Marsh Creek Road, as well as Hoffman Lane and Byron Highway. Byron Highway, Public Works is extending the maintenance road work on Byron Highway between State Route 4 and Byron Hot Springs Road. Road work will now be completed this Friday, November 9th, and the road work consists of grinding and base failure repairs. And then Public Works recently completed roadwork on Camino Diablo Road to the Alameda County line on Basco Road. We replaced field delineators, complete debris removal, and conducted other miscellaneous maintenance service. Contra Costa Vision Zero. The county is in the process of developing a plan to address severe and fatal collisions on county-owned roadways. The plan will identify key collision trends in the county, priority corridors in which severe and fatal collisions occur, and an implementation strategy to address the collision trends. The implementation strategy will include engineering, education, and/or enforcement measures. The county created an interactive web map where the public can share any transportation safety concerns they have in unincorporated Contra Costa through this web map application. And just note that this web map input is for data gathering purposes only, to implement programs to help people move safely. So if you see a pothole or maintenance work that needs immediate attention, still contact Public Works or myself so that we can address that and create a work order. You can Google Contra Costa Vision Zero and it will take you directly to the website where you can access the web map and receive notifications about Vision Zero news and upcoming events. License plate readers in Discovery Bay. So earlier this year, as you know, the supervisor made a request to the sheriff at the recommendation of the Discovery Bay P6 Police Citizen Advisory Committee to use P6 funds to purchase and install license plate readers at all entry points to Discovery Bay. There continues to be some issues gaining permission from Caltrans to install these cameras on their poles and the use of their electricity. Supervisor Burgess recently met with a member of Caltrans, and we believe we may have found a way in. So, Board Member Lee, you attend our meetings, so I'm sure he can keep you up to date. I will keep you up to date as we gain progress on this. But know that this is important to Diane or Supervisor Burgess, and she understands that the cameras are to the safety of the community. Byron Family Farm Park, we had a ribbon cutting ceremony held at Excelsior Middle School last Thursday. The community park, which includes an all abilities playground and an educational and interpretive farm center for Byron and Discovery Bay residents. Our office and county staff assisted the school district in identifying a project and applying for the grant on behalf of the school district. This was paid for with Measure WW funds and a $600,000 grant from the East Bay Regional Park District. And then last, St. Anne's Village, a senior community in Byron. There is a proposal to put a senior community on the 9-acre lot at the corner of Camino Diablo and Hallway. They are proposing 184 senior housing units with a community center that would include a mail station, salon, retail space, library, chapel, restaurant, cafe, etc. St. Anne's Village will be hosting a town hall next Thursday, November 15th at 6 o'clock, located at St. Anne's Church, if you're interested in hearing more about this proposed project. And I actually brought this, if you want me to leave it here, if anyone's interested in reviewing that senior proposal. Any questions?
Just one correction. It was a board member mayor that attended the P6, not me.
Oh my, I'm sorry. I was looking at you, but I meant you. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lee. Appreciate it. Lieutenant.
Thank you.
Good evening, board. Lieutenant Matt Williams of the Sheriff's Office. During the month of October, there was 561 calls for service in the Discovery Bay area. 41 of those related to false alarms from both business and homes. Majority of the calls were, which we refer to as service to citizens, just general calls that aren't crime related, just working with the citizens. And also traffic matters where our CSOs were out doing traffic enforcement, not so much traffic enforcement, but parking enforcement on the roadways. We had 10 arrests during the period. One was for false identification to a peace officer. 5 individuals were arrested on warrants. There was 1 domestic violence-related arrest and 3
arrest in a single incident for grand theft. I don't notice any significant trends in criminal activity. There were six misdemeanor vandalisms in the area, and we're trying to identify, you know, what's going on there. But you know, we're looking for further on that. 47 total traffic stops in the area for the sheriff's office, and that's really what I have for you in a summary, man. And if you guys got a crowd waiting to hear somebody else talk. So,
okay. Any questions for the board? Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Highway Patrol. Chief McCumber. Oh, here we go. Sorry, sir. Thought I saw you back there.
I was hiding. Good afternoon, evening. Officer Collins of Highway Patrol, Punch Costa. The activity we had out here last month, for the month of October, Discovery Bay, arrest-wise, we had seven DUI arrests, one arrest for a stolen vehicle occupied, two warrant arrests, one arrest for a hit-and-run collision, and one arrest for driving on suspended license for DUI, and then one arrest for racing, reckless driving racing within the road. Citation-wise, specifically in Discovery Bay, the township here, that 19 citations for speed, one for registration, one cell phone, one seatbelt violation, and two stop sign violations, one child restraint violations. The Bixler Road beat, six violations for speed, three for registration, two for cell phone, one for an equipment violation. The Highway 4 corridor right out here by Discovery Bay had 13 citations for speed, two for registration, one cell phone, two seatbelt violations, three improper turning, and then last time you brought up the designated lane where people are cutting through right there.
Yes, sir.
I went out here and set, and I got four of those out there. Three were right there, Highway 4, and one was at this corridor.
Thank you.
But that's what we had out here last night.
Thank you, appreciate it. Thanks for your attention out here. Questions?
Yes, just a question. Yes. Highway 4 and Discovery Bay Boulevard is one of the areas down by Syntex. There's some other issues. Last week I had someone pass me probably 70 miles an hour on the right side and nearly hit a car coming out of the Syntex region. Are you looking at that as well? That particular area, I know you're looking here at Discovery Bay Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at Newport and Discovery.
Further down.
Yeah,
there's two outlets.
Pacific Waterways, that home.
Yes, right there.
I think anybody who passes and gets away from it here thinks they can do it there.
Yeah,
as well.
I didn't live down there. I mean, I wasn't there, but I wasn't specific.
That might be something to put on your charts.
So cool. Thank you
very much. Guys. Appreciate the attention. Thank you for your hard work.
Thank you.
Okay, now Chief McCumber.
Good evening, Board.
You're welcome.
Hey. So, here we go. Here's the operations report for the month of October. In the month of October, there were 50 calls for service in Discovery with an average response time of 8 minutes and 48 seconds, and in October, there were no major incidents in Discovery Bay. For the district, we ran 618 calls for service in the month of October. This included responses to 3 residential structure fires, 4 commercial fires, 7 vehicle fires, 2 large vehicle fires, 8 vegetation fires, and 13 exterior fires. The district also responded to 19 vehicle accidents with an additional 8 requiring rescue, 2 vehicle versus pedestrian accidents, 2 motorcycle accidents, and 3 bicycle accidents. With the cooler weather that we've had, as you notice, we're in this trend of not having as many vegetation fires, which is good. However, we are not out of fire season. As of tonight at 11 p.m., we'll be under red flag warning for the area all the way through Friday morning. Just to let you also know, we are putting up an extra unit for the red flag time. They will be housed out of the Oakley station, but they will also be attached to a task force that is a countywide task force. So for instance, if a large fire were to occur in this area, we actually have access to the task force to come here in extra units to help us out because we are part of said task force and vice versa. So it's a good thing. It's a new strategy that the county has taken through the OES region in that we're trying to pre-position units during red flag warnings as to try and avoid a Santa Rosa type incident. So the more units we have available during these events, the better. On top of that, with fire season still here, there's been no rain. If you've got weeds, please cut them down. If you know of any weeds that need to be cut down, please forward them to our fire district, and we'll make sure that those kind of get cut down. On top of that, one major incident we did have in October was a major commercial fire in the city of Oakley. We lost two businesses in that fire, but we were able to save the rest of the strip. So it was a pretty good fire that night. Our units were wrapped up for a very long time on that. Finally, to wrap this up, we do have our final community workshop on November 14th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Community Center in the city of Brentwood. We invite everybody here to attend, including the audience. This is the final one of our big community workshop series that is starting to wrap up our strategic planning for the end of the year. And on that, that is my operations report for the evening, and I'm available for questions.
Thanks, Chief. Any questions from the board? Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any liaison reports, presentations? No, no. At this time, I'm going to take item G4, because I do believe that most of the people here are here to talk about item G4. And I'm going to move that up in front of our business and action items. And so we will start with item G4. And can we get a staff report, please?
Yes. Starting up the PowerPoint. Good. This item concerns the community center pool. And I begin with letting you know that after the staff report was written last Saturday or Friday, there have been some additional developments regarding the community center pool. Normally, this matter would come before the Park and Rec Committee for a recommendation before coming before this board. But in this case, we're up against a time clock which can affect whether or not the pool can be open in time for the start of the swim season, April 1st, and no later than May 1st. Can I get a slide? Next slide. We are essentially looking at three pool scenarios. One, complete the current pool renovation. Two, expand the pool to a competition six-lane pool, where we graft a new section of pool to an old section of pool. And the third scenario is change the old pool into a brand new competition six-lane pool. This choice would reduce the potential for cracks that may occur if you blend a new section of pool with an old section of pool. At this point, the current renovation of the pool has stopped until a decision can be made on how to move forward. If the board decides not to transition the pool into a competition six-lane pool, then we can move forward with the renovation and hopefully get it done in time for the season to start. If the board wants to explore turning the pool into a six-lane pool, the longer it takes, we risk not completing this in time for the swim season. Next slide. To give an overview, staff has obtained some ballpark change order estimates from Adams Pool Solutions, the company currently doing our renovation. What you see here are ballpark project totals that include the estimate from Adams Pool Solutions plus affiliated cost with transitioning the pool to six lanes. Next slide. This slide shows, I think you go back one. There you go. This slide shows the project estimates, including estimated affiliated costs. The upper left corner represents the current renovation project underway, while the bottom half of the slide shows the two potential project estimates. The upper right corner shows the most current estimates from Adams Pool Solution dealing directly with the pool. For those doing the math, the Adams estimate for pool expansion did increase as we predicted in the staff report, but was still $3,660 less than our predicted amount of $375,000. To avoid confusion with the staff report, we did not adjust the amount downward on that portion of the slide that says pool expansion, six-lane project. Okay. Next slide. Paying for the pool. The current pool renovation project underway right now is funded through the community center funds, and it would leave a fund balance of $197,651. If we expand the pool, choice two, we could use $349,203 from the Community Center Fund and fund the remaining $333,849 through either Zonate reserves or by borrowing from wastewater and paying it back when Hoffman Community Center monies come in. This would leave a Community Center Fund balance at $75,061. And if Zone 8 reserve money is used, along with other committed projects, it will leave a balance of $72,530.98 in that fund. If we borrow the money from wastewater, it would leave Zone 8 untouched. If we change the old pool to a new pool, we propose using the same $349,203 from the Community Center Fund and borrowing the $509,178 remainder from wastewater and paying it back with Hoffman money when it comes in. The process of borrowing money from wastewater for this purpose is legal, provided the loan is memorialized by resolution. We are in the final stage of collecting the Hoffman Community Center money, and staff is hopeful that the money will arrive in time to avoid having to dip in Zone 8 or do any borrowing whatsoever. In conclusion, staff at this point is looking for direction on whether or not to pursue transitioning the pool into a competitive-sized pool. Staff is available to answer questions. There are representatives here from Adams Pool Solutions, as well as Rick Pierce from the River Otters. And I know that in talking with Rick, he has some additional wish preferences other than what I've discussed here, but we all have wishes. So, with that, conclude my presentation.
Okay. At this point, I would ask if the board has any questions strictly for clarification on the items that staff presented. Are there any questions or clarification?
I've got quite a few questions. I'd like to address those if we have the Adams Pool representative here. You might be somebody who can answer some of them.
They're here.
What's that? Mm-hmm.
Members of the board, this is Steve Santoro of Adams Pool, and Mark, and Mark.
I guess just to get down to the basics, I'm not a pool person. I own one, but I don't know too much about it. So I'm just looking at construction. So my comment is, if we try to add on item number two to an existing concrete structure, what's the probability down the road that something, blending an old piece of concrete with a new piece of concrete, what kind of warranty or guarantee do we have?
The real problem right now is the solid of that pool.
Sir, do me a favor, just step up to the podium so you're recorded, that's all.
My name is Mark. I'm actually managing the project right now.
Thanks, Mark.
The problem we found when we took everything off the pool was that the shallow floor has no integrity at all. So we put a bid in to replace that. So in order to make the pool wider on item number two, that wall would have to come out to extend it. Well, the deep end floor is not in good shape either. Then you've got a south wall and an east wall that have less integrity too. So with all that being said, it's for our recommendation that this thing be taken out and put back in. To guarantee that structure, there is no guarantee on it because it's 38 years old. And adding a new structure to an existing structure is not always the best way to go. We can do it, but with ground movement and water tables out here, it's not the best way to go.
Yeah, and I can understand. That brings us to, well, just you're... To me, it looks like you're 95% got it tore out already anyway, or will have by the time you make these modifications. So I'm scratching my head just a little bit on why the big difference between the 683 and the 858, the $200,000 additional, to just pull out the remaining stuff and just make
it's 95% tore out? It's, mm-hmm. There's nothing taken out of this. The shell's still there. We haven't taken anything out. That whole thing.
Right, but if we were to fix the integrity of the shower
slide that breaks it down,
and we fix the other part, and then we blend it all together, I'm just having a hard time seeing where the where that other 200 some thousand dollars would come from. You just took it apart and put it back together.
Part of it's explained in the slide here.
Yeah. One of our biggest costs is the swimming pool decking. Right now it's been partially removed. If we're going to do a complete demo of the pool, the whole decking should be done too. It would look like patchwork. People would ask us, we spent all this money on the pool, why did you leave part of the existing decking, which has minor cracking in it anyway? So that's one of the bigger costs. There will probably be some, we have to relocate the equipment building and the equipment, so we're going to have to move it back. There'll be some electrical work involved in that, maybe a little bit of gas plumbing. And then we have to readdress our fencing. The fencing's going to have to be moved because the pool is larger. The deck area's grown 10 feet beyond the pool, so we're going to have to move our fencing out. There's a lot more to the project than just the pool itself. It's everything that surrounds it, too. Plus, we have to demo everything around there.
Right, but if we were going to do that with the expanded six-lane pool versus the new pool.
But we would just be doing one side of the pool. Everything would go to one side.
If I might just point something out, the difference in the pool cost is only $110,000.
$111,000,
which if you see the second line from both sides, that's the difference between expanding existing one and putting in a new one. It's the adjacent items that have to correlate with that are the additional 200, 100 and whatever thousand, I don't know.
It's kind of a comparison. You wouldn't buy a new car that's only half painted. You want the whole project to look like it was done correctly.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I'm just asking the question. So
sure.
Not only myself, but the community can understand.
Oh, correct.
So, yep. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chris.
If we were to, say, go to an eight-lane project, would that add another 10% to the cost? Is that a 20% adder? What would that look like, just based on the feasibility of the area?
I don't think there's even room for that. You know?
Really?
Yeah. But excuse me, I'm Steve Santoro. I'm the person who sold this. These guys work on it, and actually they both live here in Discovery Bay. But yeah, if you made it two more lanes, you add at least 10% onto the cost. And most of that is in what we call shotcrete. That's the structure of the pool. That's the most expensive part. But, and that's a guess. What you have to understand is the plumbing is all sized by how many gallons are in the pool. So I'd have to recalculate how many gallons are in the pool and make sure that the 6-inch plumbing doesn't have to be bumped up to 8-inch, which really costs a lot of money. That's all health department code.
Maybe 10% out.
Yeah, it's hard to say off the top of your head without doing the calculations.
Once you go bigger, you also get more equipment, more flow rate.
Right.
So your equipment sort of actually start to involve more food, more heaters,
but if you make the pool bigger, like we, you know, the six lanes by 76 feet, and make it shallower, all your equipment still works. I've done those calculations. You don't have to replace any of the equipment.
So we can use some of the old equipment.
Yeah, that's why it's, although it sounds expensive, that's why it's not as expensive as it could be.
Okay, all right, thank you very much.
Director Mayer.
So looking at the pool as in the condition it's in now, I was concerned with the condition of the concrete, so it's nice that you recommend that center one is not a viable option, let's say. Number three option, the one that says new pool, April 1st is still a deadline that's doable.
That could be on me, and yeah, I can pull it out. The only thing that holds us up in this situation is when we have to resubmit the plans for a new build instead of a remodel. So that has to go to county building and to county health. So they may hang us up for December. I can start work in January. By April 1st, if I get good weather, which we've had out here, I can pull it off. If we get rain for a month like we had last year, that delays things. It slows it down when you have your dry out time. But if I get good weather and the permit comes out in January, yeah.
And the simple answer is, we won't be the ones that hold it up. If it gets held up, it's going to be the two things that are not in our control, weather and the health department inspectors. Because sometimes we'll call them for an inspection on Monday, and they might not make it out there until the following Monday.
I understand. In 2 weeks.
Any other clarifying questions from the board? Yes, sir.
I just wanted to talk about the Hoffman monies we're talking about here. What is the approximate dollar amount the public has spent on this?
For the Hoffman money total, we're looking at $1,312,756. The way the agreement reads is that they would make an upfront payment of $656,378. Then the remainder would be five equal payments of $131,275 at 5% interest per year, but they can prepay that without prepayment penalty.
Thank you, guys. Any other, no more questions for the pool? Thanks, guys. Thanks for being out here. Appreciate you taking your time to come and give us that information.
We appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other clarifying questions from the board? No, I would, we good? I'm going to open this up for public comment. I've tried to get these as they came in to me. Bill, I think you were the first one in the door today, so you're number one. Come on up.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could, just a quick comment before he starts.
Yes.
As he indicated in his public comment, we did receive a letter after the agenda packet was out, and that letter has been provided to each of you, is part of the record for your decision and your consideration this evening. I know Mr. Helfrich asked for it to be added to the agenda, but I'm doing so by adding it to your recognition tonight that it is part of the public record and is part of this meeting's agenda. Thank you.
Sir, it's on you.
All right, again, Bill Helfrich, 661 Beaver Court, Discovery Bay, California. The issue really is the general cost of all of this. And now we had a report here that said $683,000, and part of that, the $375,000, was a guess because you were going to dig it deeper and you weren't sure how much it was going to cost. So I don't even think you have final numbers as what all of this is going to cost. And now you're talking about $858,000. If it was paid from the Hoffman money, I know you can't answer me here, but I will find out later. I don't think that the Hoffman money is restricted only to build a pool. It's, again, community center money. So as nice as it would be to have a six-lane competition pool, I don't think that's the best way to spend either the Hoffman money, my Zone 8 tax money. And I really think you need to consider, we had a pool, fix the pool, and you have the money to do that.
Thank you, sir. Okay, next up, Caden Watts, come on up. Come on up, Caden. All right, guys.
Pool. I think that we should really expand this pool because swim is a place where you make new friends, where you get to have fun doing what you love to do. And with a bigger pool, we would be allowed to have more kids join, and that would make new experiences for more people. And we would be allowed to have other teams come, and we would get to make friends with them. And also, it would provide more money for the town. And Discovery Bay is a place on the Delta, so we should definitely have a good swim program that is teaching us how to become better swimmers so we can go out on the Delta and use our facilities that we have here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Well done, Danny. Thank you. Guys, just to be fair to everybody, let's just hold the applause till the very end if we could, okay? Let's just let the people speak, and that way nobody feels singled out one way or another. Does that seem like a good idea? Kevin Hermanson. Top that, Kevin.
I won't be able to. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Kevin Hermanson, and I've lived here in Discovery Bay for about 9 years. I live on the state court. Congratulations on your reelection.
Thank you.
election. And thank you for taking the time to hear us out. And thank you in advance for what I hope will be a unanimous vote in favor of expansion of this pool. Now, I had a speech that I wanted to give tonight, but I want to share an experience.
Stand in front of the mic for me.
Yes, I wanted to share an experience with the gentleman that I had tonight as I was walking out the door. So I'm walking out the door of my house, and my son says to me, Dad, why are you going to court at 6 o'clock at night? And I said, son, I'm not going to court. I'm going to be an advocate for the expansion of the pool. And he said, well, why are you dressed up? I said, son, well, if you really want something, if you want to advocate for something, you've got to dress for success. And, his face lit up. And he said, you're going to talk about the pool. Now, my son's not motivated about many things these days. He's 11 years old, and he goes to Excelsior. He went to Discovery Bay Elementary. The things he's motivated about are video games, and then swimming and water polo. He's been a Discovery Bay River Otter since the team was created, thanks to Rick Pierce. And, it's something that he looks forward to every year. And now we've got him in water polo. He's decided to do that year-round. Something that he really enjoys doing. So, what it comes down to me as a father, and as I was walking out the door tonight and saying that to me, is family values. This pool comes down to family values, community, and building, promoting a healthy lifestyle. You can keep the pool as it is now, but, it's not conducive to a swim team or to a water polo team. Expanding the pool is going to enable more kids to become involved with the swim team and perhaps a water polo team. It's going to draw more families. It's going to bring the community together as a whole. I'm hopeful that we can expand this again, it promotes a healthy lifestyle, like I said. There's not much for kids to do here in Discovery Bay. And with the Delta, our bay has been not the nicest place to swim for about the past 4 or 5 years. There's nothing for kids to do. I think this pool, especially making it conducive to a swim team, to a water polo team, is going to really open up doors. And the decision you gentlemen have to make tonight is going to really impact generations to come, for decades to come. So thank you for hearing me out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Haley Young.
Good evening. Thank you, board members, for your time and consideration regarding the upgrades of the community center pool. My name is Haley Young. I am a Discovery Bay resident, and I am also, or have been, the head coach of the River Otter Swim Team since its inception 5 years ago. I am here to ask for your support in upgrading the pool. Since our community is on the Delta, it is imperative that there is a safe place for our children to learn to swim. Increasing the size of the pool will also allow increased revenue for the town of Discovery Bay. This increased revenue will come from adding more swimmers to the River Otter Swim Team, hosting swim meets, lessons, lap swimming, master swimming for adults, water aerobics, and potentially year-round use of the pool. My fondest memories revolve around swimming, and many lifelong friends were formed because of the sport of swimming and the swimming community. I want these same opportunities for my own family. Investing in this pool will not only upgrade the pool, but will upgrade the quality of life of all citizens of Discovery Bay, no matter their age. Thank you.
Thank you. The next we have Emma Eaton.
Good evening. I'm Emma Eaton. And I've been a member of the River Otter Swim Team for a long time now. My family and I have invited friends and family to swim every summer at the pool. A large pool is crucial for a swim team and a community. Swimmers need space for complex strokes and drills. It would be nice for the River Otters to host swim meets here in Discovery Bay, also resulting in revenue. With a bigger pool, there could be more swimmers on the team. It would not only be an advantage for the swim team, but for the community in general. It would be a wonderful place for families to congregate. There are limited options here in Discovery Bay for kids and teens to have a safe place to hang out close to home. Younger generations would also really appreciate a full-size pool. It can also, potential future Discovery Bay homeowners. When buyers see that there's a community recreation center with a pool, it could be a good selling point. We would also have space to swim and grow. The pool is the number one revenue of the community center. Upgrading it could result in more usage. The best decision, in my opinion, is for our community is to expand our pool. If the pool is bigger, it wouldn't be crowded. Our community is growing. Washington and our pool grow too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rick Perry.
Thank you very much, Kevin, Bob, congratulations on your re-election, Brian, congratulations, and Chris, thank you very much for your service for all these years. We really appreciate your support for everything in the community. We're going to hear a lot from River Otters. The importance to River Otters is obvious, and they'll go ahead and state that. For those of you who don't know, I'm Rick Pierce. I'm the founder and president of the River Otters, going on 5 years now. The reason I had the dream to bring the River Otters and start the River Otters is this is a water-based community. There's not too many of those around, and a water-based community is very important to have a good swimming background, swimming program. Pretty much no matter where you live, you're within 400 feet of water. I don't care if you live in the lakes, lake shore, the golf course, deep water, the lake, whatever. You're within 400 feet of water. It's important to have a good learn to swim program, a good aquatics program. It's what community is all about. This is called the community center. That being said, it was said earlier, hey, I would like to have some dreams. One thing, if we're going to do the project, we need to make sure that we do it correctly. I've talked to Mike about this, and if we work on a pool, we need to really look at what USA Swimming, the guidelines they've set forth on what a good pool. We don't want to go ahead and build a pool, then all of a sudden figure out after it's done, oh, well, now we can't host a meet here because this wasn't quite right, or this measurement wasn't what it should be. So to look at what the specifications that United States Swimming puts forth in order to have a competition pool, that's very important. I understand the cost and everything, a six-lane pool. I really appreciate the question about the possibility of an eight-lane pool. The reason being, I've been involved in aquatics for over 35 years myself. I've taught swim lessons, I've coached all levels, swam myself. I understand aquatics inside and out. I understand pools, I understand pool usage. An eight-lane pool, I understand it'd be 10% increase or thereabouts, but what you can do with an eight-lane pool is probably 200 to 300% more than what you can do with even a six-lane pool. And so something to possibly look into because it will become a better revenue source. More groups would be encouraged to use it. Ideally, like Coach Haley said, hopefully eventually having year-round. The idea is to have organizations here that are coming in year-round using the community center. Having a place for our youth to go. We don't have a lot of places for our youth to go nowadays. And this will create jobs for youth, jobs for adults, and a great place to just a great environment for people to congregate to. We need that in Discovery Bay, and anything that we can do to build that, I'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman.
I have a quick question, Rick.
Yes.
When the River Otters go to another facility and you have your swim meet, are you charged a fee to go?
Yes, we are. So we are league. We're in a league. We're in the Mid Valley Swim League right now. We are one of six teams in the league. We are tasked with hosting, even though it's their pool, we're tagged as the host. So included in the host is you have to pay the pool fee. Sometimes there's lifeguards involved in that. For instance, we got a bill. We hosted the meet against the Tracy Tritons this last year, and we received our bill for that dual meet was $1,300. So we paid $1,300 to host the meet at their pool. They're very gracious. It's their equipment. There's a lot of equipment, and you have the pool, and there's also equipment to put it on too. But so there is. We did pay to quote unquote host. Is that?
Yeah, I was going in the other direction. I guess. Let's assume we go into the future and we're hosting, you know, we're hosting the event. The other teams that come here, would they pay River Otters to be in the program? Is there a revenue source there?
If it's our turn, if it's a dual meet, not so much, but if it's an invitational, for instance, there's a Tracy invite, the Turlock, the Sea Dog Invitational, where the entire league comes, and there's about 750 to 800 swimmers, and basically it's about, with splash fees and what you pay for events, it's about $25 a kid to swim. So go ahead and do the math. There's some expenses, but a lot of times these places will make $5,000-$10,000, and a lot of the cost is in the facility. Is able to make a good chunk of money off of that a lot of times. So there is an income producing aspect to hosting meets. It also will bring business to businesses in Discovery Bay. Tell you what, Callahan's will love it. You know, Boardwalk will love it. When we host larger events like that, then there is that. We will make some money. And then you also can bring in vendors, and then they usually donate back too. So that's a lot of times teams will actually host invitationals. For instance, Antioch Delta Skimmers host the ECI Invitational every year because they're in a socioeconomic group that cannot, their people cannot afford the dues nearly as much. So pretty much half their dues are cut in half because the ECI Invitational is so lucrative that that's what they use the funds for, to go ahead and do that.
All right, and the other question I have, just went away.
Sorry.
It'll come back to me. I'm having a senior moment. And I'll bring that up.
Did you have something, Kevin?
No, I don't. I'm fine with that. Could we host that type of an invitational with a six-lane pool?
No, with the six-lane pool, they will not allow you to host an invitation. We will be able to host some dual meets, ideally with some smaller teams. Most of the pools that we go to are eight-lane pools. Some of them are 10-lane pools, but most of the time, eight-lane pools. And those meets get done about noon. With a six-lane pool, it's doable, but you're looking like 1:30, maybe 2 o'clock. It just stretches the meet a little bit longer, but it is doable. But an invitational is not going to happen because it would take too long in a six-lane pool. You want to go 8 to 10 swimmers at a time per heat, and when you, the smaller the heats, the more heats you have, and just time.
Let's get quickly back to
the record. Don't forget.
We have spoken, or at least the community has spoken, about a parent volunteer group. I'm going to use PTA as an example. For the River Otters, have you guys established that yet, your nonprofit?
Yes, we have. We do have a 501c3. We have it's actually termed the Discovery Bay River Otters Parent Booster Club, really long name, but it is established 501c3. So if there is certain fundraising that we can do outside of what our normal functioning costs in order to contribute towards something like this, we have the ability to do that. For instance, our goal, and it's something we just started planning in the last month or so, because we cannot host a meet and we really can't contribute to the league very much. And sometimes some of the teams are a little like, well, when are you going to get a pool? You know, we're the ones that can never host. And so I thought of something that we can do that nobody else can do, and that is open water. So I'm working with Jim Madison right now to host a youth open water swim event, a race out at the marina on June 11th of next year. It's a Tuesday in the evening at 6 p.m. where kids will have the opportunity to do a half mile, a quarter mile, or an eighth of a mile open water swim, similar to the invitationals I speak about. It's going to be about $25 per kid if they're in the league, $30 if they're not. In the end, we hope to raise $3,000 to $4,000, maybe $5,000, depending on the participation and the turnout. And again, that's something that could be towards understanding that, you know, we'll, you know, it's going to be a little bit more costly. We're going to be renting a larger pool. I understand the fee structure that we will be paying in the future will have to eventually go up. But another thing that will help out with that is we've been in existence 5 years. All but the first year we've had to turn kids away. And there's nothing worse than turning a kid away from an activity that they want to do.
Well, while you're on that subject, let's assume the pool was constructed, six-lane, eight-lane. About how many more participants would you expect?
mean, it'll probably go up. My guess is, it's hard to say. You know, I've maybe 25 per year. So if we were at 110 last year, I don't see why we couldn't get up to 135 if we have a new pool for this year, and then maybe 150 to 160 the following year. Eventually, it'll start to grow, and it just starts. I mean, the first year we had 80, but we've been capped off.
What would be your expectation, let's say, 3 years down the road? What's the maximum amount of participants?
I wouldn't want to go more than 180 to 200. You don't want to get into something that's too, where kids are a number. You want still a somewhat intimate environment, but a larger pool like that, you can have a larger team.
Thank you.
Rick, just for clarification, and I keep coming back to this because I don't believe that the board has all the information it needs to really make a good decision right now here today, but I want to get that information so that when the time comes, there's something to discuss. You can't host an invitational with a six-lane pool, but you can host events. You can be the hosting team for events in the league that you're in, if you have
dual
a six-lane pool.
Like a dual meet, but a dual meet's not a moneymaker because you're obligated as a team to host a certain
I understand, but I still want to make sure that the pool would be used and bring other people into the community.
Well, yes, okay. Most definitely. We would be hosting 2 to 3
and
meets
last,
a year.
Last question, Chris.
You talked about Masters program. Is that something outside of River Otters? Would that be another type of a club that might be involved in?
I mean, ideally, with Masters is 18 and older. Those are the adults. Masters is the adult, you know, some people just want to go swim laps on their own and don't want people. So, others want to be coached. Masters is basically like swim team, but for adults. And a lot of times you can establish programs like that where, you know, you need a coach. Well, a lot of times you'll just grab, you already have a coach there on deck. So all of a sudden now they can be part of that program. That coach can make a little extra money, and now you can establish programs. Other thing that wasn't mentioned was scuba. Scuba is another thing. We have a classroom right here paired with a pool. There's no scuba in East County anymore. The closest one, if you want to get certified, is in Pleasanton. So there's a lot of aquatics-based programs that can be established, and this can be a hub for that, therefore being another revenue source.
Okay, Rick, thank you very much.
On the recreation side, do you see a pool that could also function for recreation and swim lessons as well as competition?
Correct. Talking about a pool, I know that there were some measurements thrown out there. I would recommend a 7 foot in the deep end because you want the diving blocks on one end and 4.5 feet on the shallow end. I know there's some talk of 3.5 feet. The difference between 3.5 feet and 4.5 feet for swim lessons. If a kid can't swim, they're not going to be able to touch the pool, touch the bottom at 3.5 feet or 4.5 feet. They're too small at that point. 4.5 feet is ideal for water exercise. Water exercise participants are not going to like 3.5 feet. They're going to prefer 4.5 feet. Swim instruction is actually better at 4.5 feet. And it's deep enough where the kids can still dive off into the water without a block, and it's still okay. And then, again, we have to double check all this with the United States Swimming and make sure that meets their guidelines. That's legal, and the Red Cross also has similar guidelines. They work together on that. But you would be able to, host a lot of these things. And if enough of the pool is deep at 7 feet, you're going to have water polo teams that are going to want to use that pool. They may not be able to host a game in there, but they're looking for places to practice. Most places are going to be, you'll be hosting over at a larger facility like EFAC or Heritage, and that's fine. You don't have to host a water polo, anything water polo, but at least you're going to have enough people wanting to use the facility and rent out the facility. Enough groups out there, and that's ideally what's going to kind of keep it going and keep it heated.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Appreciate the information. Next, we have Haley Gunderman. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Come on up, Haley. Who's your friend?
That's my sister.
Hi. What's your name?
Addie.
Hi, Addie. Go ahead, Haley.
Hi, I'm Haley Gunderman, and I'm a member of the River Otter Swim Team. And I strongly believe that we should enlarge the pool. I think we should enlarge the pool because the River Otter shaped who I am and showed me the sport that I love. If we expand the pool, we can have more people join the River Otters and see if swimming is a sport for them. Also, if we enlarge the pool, we could host meets. Hosting meets could be a benefit to Discovery Bay. For example, people go to the meet, and the meet ends, and people might want to go eat at Mountain Mike's, Callahan's, Boardwalk, or the Steakhouse. We also need a pool in this community because we live on the Delta and need water safety classes.
Lastly, having a pool in this community would open up jobs for people my age, such as lifeguarding and swim instructors. Also, as you could, as you can see, I want to make this pool larger for good purposes.
Thank you very much. Well said. Amanda Dove. Sorry, Amanda.
It's Amanda, a resident of Eagle 20 Anchorage Way. I've lived here for 22 years and used the pool back when it was part of the athletic club. And at the time, I thought this was an athletic club pool because it's kidney shaped. But I'd love to see our pool become a fully expanded pool and have more adult access, aqua aerobics classes, adult lap swim, things that later hours. When we're considering developing the pool and using the monies from Hoffman Company, which it sounds like it's a doable scenario, I would just really love to see more adult activities incorporated into that. The community center has been, it's the momentum of the last couple of years has been wonderful. The community is really receiving what we're doing here. The activity programs are growing. My kids in the tap bus here, my son. And we're between the summer jam concerts and the food truck roundups, people are using the community center. And when you look at other cities that have aquatics programs and have pools, we know that these aren't facilities that are revenue generators. We're not looking for profit centers, I should say. And no park is a profit center. And this is a park to us, this is the rec center. And it's about a quality of life improvement. And so when we move to a community and we say, well, here's a picture of our community pool, people go, eh. But if we said we have a six-lane competition pool or an eight-lane competition pool, that is something that I think is great for property values and gets people excited about our community. It says we take our community center seriously and we want to offer programs for everybody. And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you. I hope you guys just heard that.
Thank you very much. Joy Mosser?
Not really dressed for success, but here are you. So I'm a River Rod parent for 2 years, and it was my first time ever basically having anything to do with swimming other than at home as a kid. And it's amazing what goes on at a swim meet. It's like a well-oiled machine. Hundreds of kids, and it's structured chaos. And you see a lot of different people, and they're all there for the same reason. You know, they want their kids active, they don't want to be chunky when you get older, and they want to do sometimes sports to get, you know, extra legs. My daughter's 6. She's been swimming since she's 18 months old. We live on the water, so that was like one of our number one priorities. A lot of this has been talked about, well, why should this, you know, be for the team? Yeah, this is part of the team, but it's also an expanded water aerobics for seniors. The pool can be used for so many different things. You look at our logo, it's about water. You know, this whole town has an identity about water. I've been here 22 years, and back when this community center was bought, there was people saying, well, you know, is that the best way to spend the money? Well, I guess it was, because here we are. So when you take this all into consideration, a lot of people will benefit, not just the parents and the kids of the Swimrock teams, everybody who comes to this community center. If you look at new neighborhoods, what is the first thing they do? They show their parks. They show their new, improved, you know, facilities, their community centers. This could be an identity for the town of Swimrock Bay. We have the swim team, and then you could have flags, people can buy hats, whatever. You know, it can be whatever. But I honestly think that this would be a very good investment in the future, and it will pay itself back eventually. Just like that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Gabby Karen?
Since day one, and the expansion of this pool is really important to me and my team members. because this team has been a very big part of my life. They've been my family and the people who have been there for me for a very long time. And every single year, I look forward to that. If there's nothing else and life is just down on me, I look forward to this team. And I really would love to see more people on the team and off of maybe like the streets and maybe doing some reproductive things. And it's just really gonna be good for the future of our kids here at Discovery Bay. I know that sometimes some kids can get into some tough things and some things that they probably shouldn't be in, but I know that the swim team will always be somewhere where you can do good, be good, and just be encouraged by others and motivated to do good. Yeah. So the expansion of this pool would overall just create a bigger family and create this community even more stronger. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Avalon Everett.
I'm in eighth grade and I go to Excelsior Middle School, and I went to Discovery Bay for all 5 years. I've been on the swim team for also 5 years from the very beginning, and I think that the swim team and I have both outgrown the pool almost. You have four or five people of my size and ability in one small lane, and it almost prevents you from doing your stroke correctly, which cannot be good for your performance during a competition. So I love, like, one of the great things about the community center is I love being so close to it. Like, I live in the golf course, and I ride my bike to swim every day, and then I ride my bike to piano and back home. And I love the small community kind of thing. Like, you get to go everywhere with your friends but still be like close to home, and it's not dangerous. It's like a place where people come to like be with their friends, where there's no threat of something happening to you. It's like somewhere where you know that you'll be safe. So I think it would be great if we could accommodate like more kids on our team and also make a bigger pool for summer activities, because some of my friends are just like, oh yeah, I want to go to the pool, but like it always gets so crowded and I don't want to deal with all these little kids on the shallow end. They take up the whole thing. And then so I think that if the pool is bigger, that you could accommodate different ages in the pool, like people said, like water aerobics and master's classes and younger swim teams, so kids wouldn't get hurt or injured or be scared of the water. And I think that's something big. When you grow up on the water, right, people are always telling you to be around water, and there's some people who are kind of scared of water. They've heard stories like AquaSmart in elementary school. We had those for all 5 years, right? And they tell us some stories that kind of make us almost scared of water sometimes. But I think that if you have like a swim team, that you can learn to be close to it, because you've grown up around it, and it's almost like my life. I've done tons of water sports, and we have a boat, and we don't live on the Delta, but close to it. And I think it would be great if we could expand our pool to 6 or 8 lanes. I'm honestly happy for anything. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay, that is all I have for cards. What do we have? Does anybody else have anything? Does anybody else that hasn't spoken want to come up to the mic and say anything to us at this point? Yes.
May I step up?
Please.
My name is William Francis. I am a resident here in Discovery Bay, also a local physician. Both of my kids are on the Discovery Bay swim team. And I have to say, I was so inspired by what has happened over the last half an hour here. And I hope, regardless of the pool, we can have more conversations like this with members of our community coming up and speaking about something like this. It's just fantastic. How can you not be moved by that? In regards to the pool in particular, in regards to my children growing up in Discovery Bay, there are two things that brought us into this community, and that was the Odyssey of the Mind program and the River Otters. And I'll never forget my 7-year-old daughter walking up to me at the pool deck during one of these invitational meets and saying that Gabby walked up to her and said,
said, Gabby walked up to you? And she said, oh yeah, she's a bigger girl. And I said, what is she saying? She said, she encouraged me to swim fast. And she jumped in that water and swam like there was one of her best days out on that track, out on the pool. And these are the kind of relationships that we want to build. This is what we want to do for our children. This is how we want to build our community. I say we go all the way. We do the 8-lane pool, we do this right. We build a community here in a center that everyone looks to. It impacts our housing value, it impacts our ability to raise and grow a community of fantastic children that go off and do great things. And I hope that as we look at the information all together, that we're able to make a sound decision that we can be very proud of as a community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Last chance. Well, I would say that I would agree with the gentleman, and I am very impressed by all those that came up, and I think this is a time for a round of applause for all that you came up. Extremely impressed with your preparation and your thoughtfulness that you put into your presentations. Thank you. At this time, I would open it up to board discussion. Is there board discussion?
I have some discussion.
Yes, go ahead, Director Lee.
I guess my thoughts are a little disjointed. I've been trying to take some notes here as speakers have been coming up. And just personally, I'm pretty excited about having a community aquatic center here. I think this is the time. And we're real close, real close. I think we need some more information. I don't think anything is going to take a great deal of time. I heard what Rick had to say about making sure that we have the appropriate specifications for this pool, so there is a lasting, decades-old investment that we have for the community. Not just the river otters, but everybody in the community. I need to confirm the costs. I know we have, it looks like an estimate, but I don't think we have a proposal yet for Adams Pool, so I want to get that. I'd like to see that come forward. Confirm the financing. I'm fairly confident that's not going to be a big issue. We've got the offer of money coming in. This would be a good investment in the community with those funds. I would like to have the committee take a quick look at this again, make sure that we have those specifications correct. I do have sort of one thought. Is this pool looks like it's going to be great for river otters, it's going to be great for lap swimmers, it's going to be great for aerobics. But what about the three-year-old that wants to get in the pool on a hot summer day? Is there a possibility of having a little tot pool kind of as an appendage to this pool that we could put the little kids into so that they've got a place to use this thing? I would like to see the river otters have the opportunity to expand their membership. My kids went through a swim program like this when they were done. And I'll tell you what, it's not only good for the kids, they grow up a lot, it's great for the parents. You talk about a social event for the kids, it's a social event for the parents too. I remember those ball games.
Plastic glasses.
Yeah. How many care did we step on? Anyway, I think it's, it's just not only just the river otters, but you've got a place for the youth to come here. And I think having youth athletics of whatever it is, whether it's swimming, it's basketball, it's baseball, whatever the kids want to do, we have to do our best to make sure that they have the facilities in their community to come and explore those opportunities as they go through their lives. So, it's weird to listen to live where you play kind of a place. I want to make sure we have everybody have a place to play. So I think, I'm rambling a little bit, but at some point I would like to be able to make a motion, Kevin, to get this to the committee real quick, get it back to the board if it requires special meetings, if it requires, coming here whatever day, whatever time, I'm committed to do it. But I'm excited about the proposal. I like the big pool. I think we can make it happen. I'd like the committee to take a look at it and let's move forward.
Director Mann.
I came on the board 2 years ago, and in my first 2 weeks, I met with a lot of key individuals within the town, Rick Pierce being one of those. And we talked about the needs of the river otters. it, I was impressed with everything he said, obviously, but I looked at it and I just couldn't see. As I went month over month, we looked for monies. It was one of those you didn't think was going to happen. It's a lot of money. And then the Hoffman, it helps. And we can take a look at this. I think right now, today, we are at a crossroads. And the decision we make is going to be monumental or horrible. And I agree with Director Leap that the big pool seems pretty good. And we do have to go back and do some more work. For those who may think that we should have thought of this before, there was a lot of conditions that didn't allow us to look this deep. Once we dug up the pool, we started to see things similar to people who have their house renovated. You open up the walls and it's a whole lot different than what was estimated. But it doesn't mean we can't take some time quickly and make some decisions. I think we have to look at the financial committee and make sure that we've got the funds and allocated properly. But it sounds really good. Thank you all. It was really a good discussion tonight.
Director Steele, do you have a comment?
Yeah, thanks for the presentation and the discussion with the community tonight. I think that the board really needs to consider the larger impact on the community and the safety and all the great things that it will bring by having a full-fledged aquatic center. I really think that the board needs to rapidly consider is going for the 8-lane type of a project so that we can fully host larger events that will bring a lot of economic benefit to our businesses, but also the ripple effect for all of our community members here. I know that we've been talking about this pool since the day we bought the community center, and I think it's time right now for the board to commit to going through a speedy evaluation of where we are financially and the feasibility of putting in a full-fledged a pool. I think we talked about 100-yard by 100-meter or something like that at the last. I'm not exactly on that, but I really think that's going to be a major epicenter of the great community things we can do here, and I would oppose the board. I'm available every day this week through the end of the year to make this happen, so I'll be done.
Thank you. Director Keith.
Yeah, I too need to have some more information before you can make a major decision. This decision this board's going to make is going to impact the community for the next 20, 30 years, and I think that we need to slow down a little bit. And make sure we have all the information that we can get. I think that the staff needs to take a look at the swim regulations. I would like to get the Adams Pool Company to give us a firm bid. And I think that the financial committee needs to sit down and really go through. It's easy to say, gee, we're going to get $1 million and we can just spend it in one spot. I think the financial committee needs to take a look at all of our needs and really come up and see if we can justify spending a major portion of it on an aquatic center. I was impressed with learning that there's opportunities for the financial benefit of the community by hosting these larger events, even though a larger pool might cost a little bit more. So there's just a lot of information that I need in order to be comfortable making a big decision like this. So I would like to direct staff to, as expeditiously as possible, get the information that we need, get some firm bids, have a discussion with the Park and Rec Committee, make sure the Finance Committee has looked at everything, and then get back together. If we have to have special meetings, I'll make my calendar available, do whatever we need to do, see if we can get something going.
Thank you. One of the disadvantages of allowing the board to go before you is they say everything that you wanted to say, because I got a bunch of great guys here and we all work together as a good team. So I just would say again how impressed I was with the presentations here tonight. You made some very, very valid points, but we have a responsibility to the community that means that we need more information, as was discussed here tonight. So I would agree with Director Peace. I don't know that we necessarily need a motion, but I would like to direct staff to, as soon as possible, put together a Park and Rec meeting and also a Finance Committee meeting. And then, if necessary, call a special meeting to come back together and make this decision as soon as possible. Can I ask one more question? I don't have to ask you, I'm the president. Just trying to be polite here. One more question for you, Rick. If there was a delay in this for whatever reason, act of God, it rained for 2 months straight, how would that impact your ability to maintain a team? Because, you know, if you lost a season, would it kill the team? Or if you lost part of a season, would it kill the team?
After having, in the last 24 to 48 hours, a lot of this has kind of come through. My head has kind of been spinning on that one. A lot of times, you fear if we miss a season, and these kids love swimming so much, let's say they go over to the Brentford Dolphins or the Aquanites in Oakley, they form new relationships at that point. You kind of get used to a new team at that point. Would you even come back even though it's here? I don't know. I wouldn't want to try that.
I agree.
So, you know, there's other avenues that, you know, water-wise that we would look into. Ideally, we want to, you know, if Adam's pool is still here, you know, I would say, you know, definitely try to hold them to that April 1st deadline and whatever we can to make it happen. Worst case scenario, you know, the season runs April 1st till about the third weekend in July. Worst case scenario is if for some reason that things get delayed, we start May 1st. There's a lot of swimming. There's a lot of things that take place in that first month, and it really wouldn't be advantageous to lose that month. But if we did start the season late, but in lieu of getting a larger pool, I think most swimmers and families will kind of understand it wouldn't be necessarily our strongest season yet, but that wouldn't be what this season's about.
It wouldn't be held up on questions. It would be held up on answers. That's the good news. In other words, it would only be held up after a decision was made.
The entire season, though, we would have to kind of figure out possible other options out there for the entire season. But I know at the same time, Mac, you know, has a learn to swim program that he runs here already that's already been established. I believe the guide is going to be going to print here pretty soon. So there, and that starts Memorial Day weekend. So ideally, the pool needs to be up and running for other things besides the River Otters.
Understood.
Does that answer your question?
It does. I just want to get an idea of that impact. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Do we need a motion for this? Okay.
Can I bring something to the attention of the board?
Absolutely.
I just want to bring to the attention, there's two issues that exist that we just want you to be aware of. One, with the size of this project, being the way it is, it may be that we have to go out for an RFP rather than making this a change order. And if that occurs, that's going to take time. Secondly, I can tell you I'm looking at the calendar right now, because of staff availability and director availability on the committees, we could probably not have a finance or park and rec special committee meeting until the 27th or the 28th of November, which means if we have it and decisions are made made at that time to make recommendations to the board, we could be ready for the next board meeting in December. Just wanted to let you know that. And we'll be looking at legal to tell us whether we have to go out for an additional RFP or not.
You mentioned that you couldn't have a special park and rec committee or finance committee until the 17th or something?
27th of November or 28th of November, because we have staff out. We have the Thanksgiving holiday. We have staff on vacation that are key components of the stuff, such as Dina and Brian, are out. I'm out on numerous days during this time period, so it becomes challenging.
Thanksgiving on
Thanksgiving.
I think the board can overcome those challenges.
I'm not happy with that.
Could you create an ad hoc?
Perhaps if I could offer that maybe the president and the general manager can get together and firm up some dates when things can happen. We've got 72-hour notices we have to do, and getting the information
I'm available tomorrow. I have a meeting until about 2 o'clock tomorrow. I come in the office at 2 o'clock tomorrow, and we can...
Yeah, I think what I understand with the board right now, that every board member here is willing to change whatever schedule they have coming in the future. And I can appreciate staff being, you know, out of town or inconvenient or whatever it is. But I think this is an extremely important decision. And to wait another 2 weeks to kind of do stuff, I'm not happy.
Can the board appoint an ad hoc committee to work on this? And then we're looking at one committee member's with flexibility, and they can report back to the full board at a special meeting.
Why don't we just have a combined finance and park committee meeting?
Can do that.
Oh.
Yeah, just have a special study session.
You can do a special study session for the whole board. You can't do a combined standing committee. Yeah.
Well,
the only reason your general manager is suggesting, because I whispered in his ear here, ad hoc committee, the only reason we're suggesting that is because that doesn't require any notice. It doesn't require any advance preparation for you guys to get together. You can do that on whenever. But what you need is the staff to be able to provide you the information that you need to help make some of these decisions. So it's the only reason he suggested the ad hoc committee.
Would Director Pease and Director Steele be that ad hoc committee?
I'm okay.
I'm available.
Yeah, so I think what I heard here is Member Graves going to get with General Manager tomorrow, see if they can figure out some other way. President Graves has the authority and the discretion to call an ad hoc and set an ad hoc committee without anybody's approval.
Okay.
So if he decides to do he can do it.
Okay. I'm going to commit the time, gentlemen. I'll commit the time tomorrow afternoon. And are you available tomorrow afternoon, Mike?
Yes.
Okay. I will commit the time tomorrow afternoon, and we'll sit down and hash this out and figure out the best way to do it. I would not ask staff to cancel vacations that they plan with their family. I don't think that would be fair or correct to do. But we'll figure something out. It's important. It's important to all of us. It's important to the staff as well as it is to the board of directors. And when it's that important, we'll find a solution. So let's just let's move to the next question. Yes, Director Mayor.
Okay, just a question on the RFP. This has gone out for an RFP, and Adams is one of the few that came back. Is because the scope is so large, we'd have to look at that again, or can we assume that has already been done?
That's what I'm scratching my head over. So I'm not going to try to knee-jerk react and give you an answer here.
But at the same time, as we decide, council will be able to decide what
absolutely
will all come together.
I'll know whether or not it's a significant change order.
Yeah, one of the other things I've mentioned is I just talked to Director Steele myself. If a Saturday or a Sunday needs to be on the schedule, let's have them.
We'll make something. It depends on overtime for staff and how we're going to work that out. But what we're saying to the community is this is important, right? You're getting that message, and we'll do what we can. And we don't know what that decision is going to be. The decision is we don't have final pricing or anything like that. So, but we've heard you, and we appreciate all the conversation, and we're going to try to make the best decision we can for the community. So thank you for being here. We're going to go on with our meeting now. It's not nearly as fun as pool, and you're all welcome to stay. Let's move on. We're one. Rob, you can hand those to Carol. I don't know if you need them or what.